But there's nothing I can't stand than this lackadaisical, spineless culture that we're developing where people are afraid to take a position. I'll give you some extreme examples. Like, I like to have fun with some of these issues that we discuss, and I might bring up something like later as we discuss wars, women in the military, and then all the boys shut up because they don't want to be in trouble. It makes me want to vomit. Or like candidates for public office, their position on abortion. Well, I'm personally against abortion, but I respect the woman's right to choose. Come over here so I can smack you for not having passion, okay? Not you, don't let anybody get on my
Oh, I was like,
just stand up and walk over.
I have a question, I'm sorry. I'm sitting in spiritualist seat, and I usually sit here, so should I just write her name? And I don't know her ID number, so.
If you want to, you can do that, just put
zero. And then just mine right here in the front, because.
Yeah, you can do that, that's fine. Yeah, just put yours.
Yeah, because our row has 60.
There's 16 too, it's not.
We're the only one.
No.
You guys are special.
But no, that's gonna have to write over the box.
That's all, she's got it, and ultimately we'll have another seat and another.
Oh, spiritualist will drop my seat very long then.
Just put zero, that's what I'm doing, I got it in the roll book, and that's what the phone machine is to be called, and it's here, it's fine. So anyway, you guys know what I mean, this is, be bold, take a position, you don't have to agree with me. You're gonna be graded on completing assignments and arguing your points. You're not gonna be graded on whether or not you believe exactly the way I do. You will be graded, I mean, when things are objective questions and there's either a right or wrong answer, of course, you've gotta have the right answer. Essay questions, what I look for, if they're controversial issues, like this immigration thing. Suppose I gave it to you as an essay question and put Tom Tancredo's position and said agree or disagree with Tom Tancredo. If you write down, I disagree, I'm not gonna mark you wrong, okay? But if you disagree, I want some substantive reasons why you disagree. Not, I don't like Tom Tancredo because he's a racist, bigoted pig, and I just don't like his haircut. Nothing like that, okay? You have to have solid historical examples or specific examples from the text, some reasoned arguments, and generally more than one. One isn't very weighty, two is a little more weighty, three is all right.
So what are we supposed to write on the back of
this? On the back of this, you're going to write, tell which of the senators you agree with, and explain your position using details from the reading.
How long is that for you?
I didn't get that far yet. That's the next sentence, okay? Tell which of the senators you agree with, and explain your position using details from the text. Then you just write down at least minimum 6 full sentences. Now probably a lot of you are going to go longer than that, but that's the minimum to get credit for, okay? Any questions? Doesn't have to be typed, could be handwritten. The only thing I really require for you guys to be tight would be at the end of the year, the reading and writing assignment that you do. If you type your assignments, yeah, for us, I think it's
it's
the third or fourth marking period for you guys. Now, we may have some sort of project this semester, and if it's going to be typed, I'll let you know. But in general, I accept handwriting unless it's some sort of research project. So you can write, you can type. The thing with me is it has to be legible.
Do you like pen or pencil?
It doesn't matter. Okay? If you feel more comfortable with a pencil, that's fine. Just neat, legible. If your writing is absolutely awful and you don't want to use your computer, then print, okay, so that I can read it, okay? If you have a long-term assignment, then it has to be neat. I don't want things crossed off and stuff. I give you a week to do something, it should come back somewhat professional, even if it's handwritten. If I give you an assignment in class and I collect it at the end of the period, it's okay to have, you know, the loose edges from your notebook. It's okay to have things crossed off, whited out. That's fine. Because you didn't have time to rewrite it. But generally, longer term assignments I want somewhat professional. Question? The second question for that last assignment, you had to just tell me which senator you agree with and then explain your position using details from the readers. And you can include your own ideas outside of the reading, but I want to see that you've interacted with the reading, okay? Anybody have any questions or comments? You had a question before I started passing this stuff.
Yeah. My question was, can you believe in the original ideas of reincarnation in the Bible, actually?
Okay.
Since when it was changed, that was, it used to happen.
First of all, I'm puzzled by a lot of the things that you're saying. And I'm going to keep this short because I can't, you know, we can't not cover populism, you know. So every day we'll devote 5 minutes or so to you guys trying to make an atheist out of me.
No, I'm not trying to make an atheist.
I'm playing with you. The things that puzzle me is you keep talking about an original Bible.
Yeah.
And the other thing is
they're having so many drafts and re-editing.
The versions of the Bible that you have today are like versions of Shakespeare, different translators. It's all Shakespeare. It's just that English was translated in a different time period. You know what I mean? Like if you take modern English Bibles, like the King James, excellent version of the Bible, excellent translators, but it was done in 1611. So it's going to have a lot of these, thous, cattle are going to be called kine, donkeys are going to be called jackasses. I love that word. Jackass. They're going to be called jackasses. In the Bible, okay? It's a good English word. So if you take a more modern version, now that was an English version, the NIV, for example, I was using some versions. That's the New International Version that was done in the 1970s, like 78. Their goal was to update the English so that this, you know, we're living hundreds of years later, so that people could still get an accurate meaning from the text using modern English. And there's another effort, too, not just to use English from the United States or England. They took this pan-English-speaking world attitude and chose English words that would be understood here in New Zealand, England, etc., to capture the original text. So it's not a changed Bible. It's just a different version. You know? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand, but I'm not talking about that type of changes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean the changes that were made when there was the whole controversy of the two popes, when one was telling the other one that they started making and some of them started making revisions of the Bible.
Where does this come from? Mm-hmm. Is this right down? Yeah. Where did you hear that?
It's been like places on history channels. I've heard it from that. I've heard it from the internet. I've heard my own pastor at some points.
Yeah, don't
heard from my mother was a CTD teacher and everything else.
Don't buy it. Because there are so many, we don't have the original Bible, but we have so many ancient manuscripts that we can piece together that you can virtually say we have the original, or thousands of them, in different regions of the Middle East, even early European versions. An excellent piece of archaeological evidence is the Dead Sea Scrolls. Back in the 1940s, 1947, there was a Palestinian shepherd boy throwing rocks. Like kids do, he was throwing rocks. And he threw a rock into a cave and he heard something shatter. So he went into the cave and it was a clay jar that shattered. And he looks around the cave and there are dozens of these clay jars. So he sees an opportunity. Maybe an antique dealer would love these things. So a little said Palestinian boy takes the manuscripts to an antique dealer and he understands what this kid has found. It's priceless. So it's turned over to universities. These things predate complete texts that we have by 1,000 years. And the point that I want to illustrate here is there are many people that say the text has changed over the years. They apply the theory of evolution to everything nowadays as if the text evolved over the years. And conservative scholars have always contended that that is not true. Liberal scholars were salivating over the research concerning these Dead Sea Scrolls. It's like an aha moment. Aha, we've got you now. When we're translated, we're going to prove that the text has changed. Now, because they predate everything that we have by 1,000 years, the texts are somewhat crumbling, okay? But we do have a complete scroll, absolutely complete scroll of the book of Isaiah, and the rest of the Old Testament is in fragments. But all the fragments are consistent, and the complete scroll of Isaiah is completely consistent with the scroll with the Isaiah that you would find in the Bible. No change. They were very, very meticulous in copying, so much so that when a scroll was completed, they had all kinds of tests they would count every consonant, every word. If the numbers were discrepant, they would burn the whole scroll. You know, it was really insane the way they copied the text. So I don't believe that the text has changed. The evidence just isn't out there. So I don't know if that answers your question. The other thing was incarnation. Somebody would have to show me. I read the Bible from cover to cover many times.
You
got a degree in Bible, master's degree in religious arts.
Supposedly that happened in your
years. Never saw reincarnation in the Bible. It's just not there. Biblically, it's heaven or hell, and you decide. God votes saved, Satan votes lost, you cast the desire in the trouble, who side you on?
Is purgatory in the Bible?
It's in the Apocrypha, in the Roman Catholic Church. There are books that are in the scriptures that aren't in the Protestant Bible. But the early church, and it was a Hebrew church originally, they never accepted the Apocrypha. Plus, the apocryphal writings don't claim inspired authorship. The other way I go about it too is I look at the books that Jesus and the apostles actually quote. None of them ever quote an apocryphal book. They only quote the ones that are Genesis to Revelation. So there is one book that alludes to purgatory, but Jesus never did. And his statement is, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's either or.
Yeah, because I have a question. You said you majored in the Bible and all that stuff, and
so I have a degree in Bible.
Yeah. Same thing. I meant when you were talking.
Cooking, weaving, history, Bible, same.
So how did you were you always your religion, or did you convert after you researched and you did all that?
Well, as a little boy, I was kind of nothing. I went to what was called a Protestant Sunday school. It wasn't even really a church, it was just a Sunday school. And then there were different preachers that would come and give messages there. As I got older, a Baptist pastor took over the ministry and made it a Baptist church and ended up there. So my thinking originally would be shaped by people I respected, like that pastor and my dad. But now I'm a big boy, and I've done the research. Satisfied, fine, and I am on the right side. Now, I'm not saying the Baptist church is pro-right church, because we all have different church governments and stuff like that. What I mean is I believe the scriptures are true. Not necessarily the Baptist church, but the scriptures are true. You don't have to believe that to get a man in my class. Many people do that. They hate my views. Is your hand going up? No? No? Your hand is up again.
Talk a lot.
That's all right.
What happens to people who don't believe in your specific idea of the Bible and what it means? What happens to, for example, Muslims or people who don't believe the Bible?
According to my view,
it's called limbo.
According to my view, there would be no limbo, there would be no purgatory. Right?
Well, I don't think that is limbo or purgatory.
This might not be consistent with your church and its beliefs. I'm not trying to denigrate your church's doctrines. But if your question is what I believe about that, please, I would claim my faith isn't even founded on the Baptist Church. Me and the Baptist Church disagree on some things. I try as closely as I can to base my faith on the Bible. And Jesus has some specific things to say about salvation. In fact, we often paint Jesus as this loving, cuddly little figure that we pull out at Christmas time, right? Most of us in our minds still have Jesus in the manger, and he wouldn't hurt us fly. A new story, he grew up. He's a big guy, and Revelation shows him as the judge of the universe. And his statement in John chapter 14:6 is, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He portrays himself as the door. He's the only one. So based on that statement, if you're going to say that you believe Jesus, that's an exclusive statement. The door is open to everyone, but the condition is that you trust in Christ. Have Muslims?
Some of them
have
no
choice.
He's
a good man. He's a nice prophet. But when a Christian says he's God, they're called an infidel. Right? But that's what Jesus said.
Some Muslims have no choice. They have no other education,
yeah, I feel bad for them, and I think that that's why I'm so behind this foreign policy. I think it's going to open the door in the Middle East for an exchange of ideas, and people can hear all different ideas. And I'm not saying that I don't like Muslims. I'm not saying that I don't care about them. I love them, and I'm friends with them, you know. But if you're asking me what I believe, my faith is found in the scriptures. And, you know, Jesus makes a particular statement. I'm bound by it.
I don't know. I believe in everything like about Jesus, and I'm like Roman Catholic, I guess. So, I believe that. But when you tell me something like that, like,
what if you were to ask a Muslim? What about a guy like the slave? Would you call him right?
Of course, you're going to know, right?
Without a doubt, they're going to say that. And my only hope would be for them to not strike and say, what's the name of the prayer that they're saying?
No, that's our God. It's
a prayer. That's his name, but there's a prayer of some version.
That's cheap.
Did you say that?
I'm sorry, who is that?
The Ghost Chifa.
Chifa? Yeah. Wait, Chifa, and here's another case in point. I love Chifa. She's on my team in some of my best boats, and probably will be in our best boat this year. But I'm bound for what I do. If you ask me a direct question, I'm not going to hide it from you. I'm not going to teach you in the curriculum, but if you ask me a direct question, I'm intellectually bound to tell you.
She's a nice person, and I know her too. And because she's a wonderful person,
let's not use chief.
Okay. All right. Any Muslim, or
anybody.
Anybody.
You don't have to be a Muslim.
Yeah.
What if it says Christian on your birth certificate, but you don't care about Christ?
Yeah.
Let's use that guy.
Yeah. Okay. We can use that guy. Why not?
Let's use you.
Thanks. Let's.
Yeah. You're
so yeah. Right. Yeah, come on, Lily.
That's why I want my mom.
It's from Billy.
Delaney. So, if they are, if this particular person is a nice person and they do love everybody else, then God, I figured God, no matter what, would accept them.
This is, it's a tough thing to wrestle with, I understand. Churches will have a different answer for it. This is my, what the conclusion I've come to based on the way that I read the statement. Jesus' main concern in the New Testament is like missionary activity. His parting words are go. He tells the disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. There's a reason for that. If you don't, you're going to hell, based on the statement. If you count the words of Jesus, he speaks more about hell than he does heaven.
Yeah.
Well, what church preaches that? I do whole sermons on hell, what it's like, what Jesus said about it, but I've gone to many churches and I never did that.
So what do you say? Are you saying that, like, let's say I was a Christian, he says Christian on my birth certificate, but I don't give a and then I show up at the gates of heaven or the gates of hell, and Jesus, and then I realize, okay, that this is real now. Like, okay, now I believe. I won't denounce Christ.
It's like a soccer
game. Is that too late?
This is the playing field. Yeah, once you get that, what is it, the red card, you're out of the game. You know, you get a couple of warnings, you get a couple of yellow cards. How many yellow cards
do
you
have?
After the second one, done. This life is the playing field. And you might not be aware of it, but based on the way that I read the scriptures, you have a passionate, loving God pursuing you like the hound of heaven, trying to get a visitation from him.
But if you never see it, if you're Muslim and never see that, how is he trying to get you to follow him if you've never even heard of him? So can't once people hear of him?
He's in their Quran.
They've
heard of him. He's in the he's in their Quran, but he mentioned it. But there are a number of different things that the scriptures lay out here in Romans. In the New Testament, Paul talks about all men being without excuse because they have a witness to nature. Nature itself points to the fact that there is a God. Then man has a conscience. Everybody on this planet has this concept of right or wrong. The animal kingdom doesn't have it. My dog doesn't bite me because he's suffering from PMS. It's instinct. He feels threatened and bites me. My dog wouldn't bite me just because he wants to be mean that day. He might feel threatened. he operates from instinct. If I go to take his bowl of food away, I might get snatched. Using that figuratively, because my dog is a teddy bear, okay, wouldn't bite anybody. But you guys know what I'm saying about dogs, right? There really is no such thing as a bad dog. They operate on instinct, or some may have been abused or whatever. But humans are different. Animals are immoral. We're moral beings. If you take any culture on this planet, they have a basic concept of right or wrong. Like, I can't think of any place on the planet where murder would be acceptable, legitimate murder. Take somebody's wife anywhere on the planet, and they're ticked off. Okay, it's something that would rub any tribal chief in the wrong way if you take his wife. Okay? We have that basic concept written on our hearts. It's there. The other thing is, you can go anywhere on the planet and you won't find the culture that doesn't worship. What they worship may be different, but there's something inside of them that tells them there's something greater than you out there. Find me the culture that doesn't have a God. I'll give you an A plus for the class. Don't use the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union, because you know that their God was the state. They're worshiping something.
They're all alive. The penguins do not have a God.
There's like three people in that argument. I don't know what they believe in.
Cultures, not in the
Isn't there a, like, that doesn't believe in anything?
Does an atheist have a concept of justice?
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
Their human brain, huh?
Yeah, but I thought everything was supposed to be relative.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean? Because if there are absolutes out there, if there are absolute rights and wrongs, there has to be an absolute author of them. This is going to take more than 20 minutes to get you guys to see. But anytime you claim that there are moral absolutes, there has to be an author of them.
Talk to Jeffrey. We haven't heard of him ever.
Jeffrey, you got to raise your hand like you really mean it, man. I don't see your hand over here.
Your view of lower tens of animals and animals who died. The Bible is kind of silent on it. I know.
You don't really care.
But please, don't misunderstand me, because I am an animal lover. I love animals. I think they taste delicious.
Isn't there like animals
don't
have like a spirit? No, they have souls. They have a spirit.
The Bible really doesn't speak to that. I know that there, when you know, when Christ sets up a kingdom, and you read Revelation, there are animals. I just don't know if there are the animals that were here. You know what I mean? Yes, LeClaire.
We just got into, you know, animals. It's in chapter 1 of Genesis, but what was the day that the Lord supposedly created animals? They are also considered his creatures.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. And he loves all his creatures, right?
Yes.
Okay. Why, if the Lord could do anything he wanted, and when he was setting this up, if he could do anything he wanted, why would he make it so that a large selection of the animals on the planet would have to bite, kill, and eat each other to survive?
There's an easy answer to that. Do you know what to know?
Apple.
Exactly. These are all the results of man's sin. When you read Genesis
but why would that be blamed on the animals?
Not blamed on them.
But the animals didn't do anything.
Why were the animals created?
You're supposed to know this one.
Good question.
They were created to serve man.
Man.
We're at the apex of God's creation. We're the highlight. We're the last thing created. Everything that you see on this planet is for man to explore.
But why would they still suffer? Why would they be forced to suffer? I mean, it's not even, this isn't even just... Oh, well, like, for example, a carnivore, okay? A carnivore, the only thing that that animal is designed to do is to eat
and they love it.
Other animals, and they love it. What about the one that's being eaten? What about the one that's getting his head chomped off by something?
They're gonna get
why?
It's on the food chain, man.
It's like the
survival.
Thomas the Apostle. He wasn't, he needed absolute proof that he could see. And I think that's why we
had to put his finger in the hand,
right?
He
had to put his finger in the hand. But one day, if you're legitimately searching, your finger's going to go in there.
I think I already found, but as far as like what it was saying, I'm trying to comprehend the fact that, well, yeah, because I mean, God loves all his creatures, and he can do anything in the world, even beyond our knowledge, which he can do. Why would he do that?
You have to eat to live. You're eating animals. Do you eat meat?
Yes.
If you read the text closely, though, you'll find that they didn't eat meat in the beginning. It was a result of a curse.
Okay,
Adam and Eve could eat
the same
fruit.
The animals have to eat to live, you know?
They got their energy down.
Certain animals.
No, but he said why they have to do that.
As a result of the fall.
Well, yeah, I understand all that, but before, I heard you say that animals are amoral. Okay. Now, if they're amoral, they don't have. Just that means that they do not have control over what they do. It's inbred in them, which means that the loving Lord was the one that created them. Now, my idea is if I was in that position, I would make it so that one animal didn't have to eat another to survive. I would make it so that that animal. But the animals can't sin because we're immoral.
Right.
But why would it affect the animals? The animals didn't do anything.
You know how much fish there are?
You know what I mean? Why God did that, I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be illustrative. It could mean that, like, for example, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? He covered her sin. What did it take to cover their sin? An animal had to be killed, and the skin would cover their body.
Well, why would you do
the
that?
The idea is sin costs something. It costs blood. And ultimately, who's the ultimate sacrifice? Who died once for all sin?
That's Jesus Christ. That's what you have to read a little more. You have to read more, Matt.
Creation groans, creation has this pain, this suffering, not because God made it, but because we brought sin to the world.
If we brought sin into the world, then why is it not just the humans? If you're saying that the humans were the ones that sinned, why is it that the animals are being punished?
They're not being punished. It's not judgment. They're just creatures that are there to serve us.
They're the package.
You've got to
come from the whole world.